Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q3 FY23 earnings conference call of Welspun Corp, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Abhineet Anand from Emkay Global. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Jordan, and a very warm welcome to everybody. Today we have the post-result conference call for Welspun Corp. I will hand over the call to Mr. Salil Bawa, Head in Group Investor Relations. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Abhineet. Good morning to all of you. I welcome all of you to the Q3 FY23 earnings call of Welspun Corp. Present along with me today on this forum are Mr. Vipul Mathur, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Percy Birdy, Chief Financial Officer of Welspun Corp. I also have with me my colleague, Gaurav Ajjan, who leads Investor Relations for Welspun Corp. You must have received the results and investor presentation of the company, which are also available on the BSE and NSE, as well as on the company's website, which is www.welspuncorp.com. As usual, we will start the forum with some opening remarks by our leadership team. We'll then open the floor for your questions. During the discussion, we may be making references to the presentation which has been uploaded. Please do take a moment to review the safe harbor statement in our presentation. Should you have any queries that remain unanswered after this earnings call, you can reach out to us anytime. With that, let me hand over the floor to Mr. Vipul Mathur, MD and CEO for Welspun Corp. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Salil. Thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Q3 FY23 conference call. I sincerely appreciate for taking time to attend this call, and I hope all of you are doing well. Let me run through you the key highlights of our performance during this quarter, ended 31st December 2022. We commenced operations in our U.S. facility and have also started dispatches. As you know, we have a strong outlook and order book in the U.S. market. We have also ramping up sales for our state-of-the-art ductile iron plant and TMT plants, which got commissioned in this quarter. We have also received possession of the specified assets of ABG Shipyard. As we are committed to ESG, we have published our maiden sustainability report and tax transparency report in this quarter. As regard order book, we have a very healthy order book of almost 928,000 tons and an active bid book of 1.7 billion tons. For the quarter, the production and sales volume in line pipes for our total operations, including Saudi, was at 330,000 tons and 281,000 tons respectively. For India operations, the sales volume was at 126,000 tons. For U.S. operations, the sales volume was around 38,000 tons, and for our Saudi operations, the sales volume was around 118,000 tons. Let me give you some views on the outlook and a brief update as to where do we see the three geographies in which we are present for the next quarters to come. Let me first talk about the pipe vertical. In the pipe vertical, where we predominantly produce line pipes, the line pipe business has seen a robust performance with a global sales volume of 281,000 tons and an EBITDA of rupees 202 crores for the quarter. The production in the U.S. has significantly ramped up, and the dispatches against the projects have started in Q3. The full impact of this will be seen in Q4 FY23 onwards. It is expected that 2023 will be another strong year for the oil and gas industry, as consumption is expected to increase. According to IEA, global oil demand is set to rise by 1.9 million barrels per day in 2023 to a record high of 101.7 million barrels, with nearly half the gain from China following the lifting of COVID restrictions. In addition, the EU will need to buy a lot more gas to refill its storage and will continue using oil products that is no longer available from Russia. Global oil prices are forecasted to average around $80 per barrel, which is a fairly healthy level and should spur further investments in pipeline. For India, the Ukraine crisis has reaffirmed the importance of energy security as governments around the world are trying to secure gas pipelines at affordable prices. The EU is pivoting away from Russia to other regions to secure the gas it needs. The current environment, along with the reasonably high energy prices, will lead to a robust capex cycle in the oil and gas infrastructure globally. We are seeing a strong revival in various pipeline projects and are in active discussion for several export orders across the world with a focus on Europe, Australia, South America, Southeast Asia and Middle East. The government of India has also set a target to raise the share of natural gas in the energy mix to 15% by 2030 from currently 6.2%. Various steps have been taken by the government in this direction, including expansion of national gas grid, expansion of city gas distribution network, and setting up liquid LNG terminals. PNGRB has authorized approximately 33,000 kilometers length of natural gas pipeline network across the country. Out of this, 21,000 kilometers length of natural gas pipelines are operational, including 6,600 kilometers of partially commissioned pipelines. In addition, there are 12,000 kilometers of natural gas pipelines which are under construction. We have seen a healthy demand from PSU oil and gas companies. The overall capex target for FY22-23 is ₹111,350 crore, for which 77,000 crore rupees has been spent in April to December 2022. We expect a steady demand from these companies to continue for several years. There has been a revival in the water sector with a cooling off in the steel prices in the quarter compared to the previous year. We have seen increased demand across the state of Gujarat, Maharashtra, Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, Madhya Pradesh, Punjab and Rajasthan. There are several schemes planned by both the central and the state government to ensure optimal sustainable development, maintenance of quality and efficient use of water resources to match the continuously growing demand across the country. As regards US, Europe energy crisis is expected to keep the LNG market tight for the next few years, supporting cash flow generation for the US LNG players. Rising global demands for natural gas is a growth opportunity for US LNG producers. But delivering on opportunity will depend on timely construction of natural gas pipeline infrastructure to support new US LNG supplies. In 2022, the EU imports of LNG hit 101 million tons, which was a 58% surge compared to 2021, as Russian gas exports to EU got shut down. Meanwhile, China reduced their domestic demand in 2022, allowed Chinese importers to redirect their contracted LNG volumes to the higher-priced European spot market and help Europe to avoid major shortages. A potential recovery in the Chinese market in 2023 will bring back the risk of natural gas supply in Europe. European demand may accelerate LNG capacity expansion in the US. This in turn would spur further capital allocation for constructing new pipeline capacity to connect the largest US gas-producing regions like the Permian Basin to the new export infrastructure. Our SO plant in the US is fully booked till December 2023. The current business environment is extremely conducive and we are in active discussion to book new orders beyond 2023 for our spiral plant. Saudi Arabia. We have seen a very strong performance in our associate company Eastpipe EPIC with a 266% YOY jump in revenue and operational profit of $61 million during the quarter. The outlook for the oil and gas sector in Saudi Arabia is encouraging. The Master Gas System Phase 3 is being planned by Saudi Aramco for transfer of gas from east to west in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is also trying to speed up conversion of number of power plants from oil to natural gas. In that perspective, Saudi Aramco is extending the existing Master Gas System to Western Province in order to supply the power plants located there. The planned new pipelines and distribution network to be operated by Saudi Aramco will add to the existing Saudi pipeline capacity. Apart from above, Saudi Aramco is also keenly focused in developing their offshore infrastructure and are rolling out a plan, a 10-year plan, in terms of development of their offshore infrastructure. This will also mean a substantial increase in the pipeline capacity in times to come, the demand for the pipes to come. SWCC is also investing in increasing its capacity to desalinate, transmit and store water to meet the increasing demand and further enhance water supply security. Today, Saudi Arabia can store 21 million cubic meters, which is equivalent to 2.2 days of current municipal water demand. Projects are ongoing to expand storage capacity by 14% and the expansion of a further 225% is planned to reach 7 days of strategic storage by 2030. On desalination, around 9 million cubic meters per day can be produced today. The market share of SWCC is around 66% of the total current production capacity, and projects to increase desalination capacity by 60% are under construction. Moreover, Saudi Arabia plans to increase desalination capacity by 17.4% by 2030. Given the vast geography of Saudi Arabia, transmission of desalinated water to its demand center is of key importance. Today, around 13.9 million cubic meters per day can be transmitted across the country. The capacity is currently being increased by additional 56% and a further expansion of 44% is planned by 2030. Thus, both Saudi Aramco and SWCC put together are showing a very robust, sustainable demand for the next few years. Our associate company, EPIC, recently announced signing contracts for the supply of steel pipes for water transmission with a total order value of around 570 million rial with NEOM and Petrojet company. The huge thrust on oil and gas and water infrastructure will result in a strong demand for pipelines as we expect to win more orders in due time to come. Let me now shift to another vertical, which is our steel vertical. The pig iron and the DI pipes. During the end of the quarter, we announced the commissioning of our coke oven in Anjar through Welspun Metallics Limited, a wholly owned subsidiary of the company. The coke oven has a production capacity of approximately 210,000 tons per annum, which will primarily be used in the blast furnace for manufacturing of hot metal. This will help with continuous supply of high quality coke at a very competitive cost to run the plant efficiently. This is a significant milestone in our quest to manufacture high quality DI pipes. The coke oven is built with the latest technology and adheres to the highest safety and environmental standards. The EBITDA in this quarter for the steel vertical showed a loss of 34 crore rupees as compared to the previous quarter, which was at a staggering 293. We are ramping up production in a calibrated manner to ensure that we deliver pipes of the highest quality to our customer. In the month of January 2023, our production has already touched close to 10,000 tons of DI pipes. The removal of 15% export duty on pig iron has also given a boost to selling of DI pipes, pig iron in the market, in both domestic and the export market. We expect the financial performance of the business to significantly improve in the subsequent quarters, as the pig iron sales will also get ramped up, as the prices for the pig iron are also firming up, and so as our capacity on the DI pipes has also significantly ramped up, and we produce in January 10,000 tons of pipe, which is a sort of a milestone in a startup DI company, if we see any historical data. To make provisions of potable tap water supply to every rural household of the country by 2024, Government of India, in partnership with states, is implementing the Jal Jeevan Mission, Har Ghar Jal, with an estimated outlay of 3.6 lakh crores. As on 28 January 2023, out of 19.36 crore rural households in the country, 10.96 crore 50 households are reported to have tap water supply in their home. Overall, the demand environment is extremely robust, and as on date, we are already having a backlog of close to 88,000 tons of order valued at 665 crore rupees. I now shift my attention focus to the billets and the TMT bars. Our newly commissioned state-of-the-art plant has started dispatches of TMT bars. The initial response has been extremely encouraging, with a healthy traction both in the B2B and the B2C sector. We are creating a unique and industry-first digital platform for distributors, dealers, retailers, and influencers. This will have a socio-economic impact and will also help to analyze an early trend buying patterns of the consumers in every region. This can help our production and make supply chain operations more effective while staying customer-centric. Our key target for the TMT bars will be the state of Gujarat, where we estimate an annual demand of 3 million metric tons per annum, driven by the spending on housing and construction. Of this, approximately 2 million ton is manufactured within the state, and while 1 million ton is procured from outside state. Thus, it opens up a huge opportunity for us to capture this market from our production facility. I also now draw your attention to our subsidiary, Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited. WSSL has recorded a turnaround in performance with a cash positive and they turned cash positive in this quarter. Going forward, the company expects its improved performance to sustain on the back of several new customer approvals, acquisitions, development of new products, and penetrating new markets. Pipe volume were higher by 45% for Q3 FY23 and 70% for 9-month FY23, both compared to the corresponding period in the previous year. The total income was 175% higher for Q3 23 compared to the previous year. EBITDA for quarter 3 stand at 9.4 crore rupees versus a loss of 1.6 crore rupees in Q3 of FY 2022. The total order book of WSSL for stainless steel bars stands at 2,134 tons, amounting to 60 crores, and for the tubes and the pipes stand at the order book stands at 1,426 metric tons, amounting to approximately 100 odd crores. The Finance Ministry has approved a gazette notification for anti-dumping duty on stainless steel pipes and tubes, Chapter 7304, imported from China. This is expected to significantly improve business prospects for our plant and for all the mills in India. The BIS standard for seamless pipes and tubes, which is BIS 17875, has also been introduced, which is favorable for integrated players like us. The company has received accreditation certificate by BIS for a wider range of product grades and sizes. Let me also give you some other updates with respect to our acquisitions on ABG and Fintech. First, about ABG. The company has received the possession of the movable asset properties from the liquidator of ABG. Further, the company's wholly owned subsidiary, Navyan Shipyard Private Limited, has received the possession, the partially built ship equipment and metal scrap acquired under WCL is estimated to be over 150,000 tons. It is estimated that the metal and metal scrap not required for the business purpose will be disposed over next 12 to 15 months. We have already initiated the proceedings with respect to that, and we expect to see significant cash flow coming in from this sale on a quarter-on-quarter basis for the next couple of quarters. During this period, we will also evaluate new business areas like defense, greenfield, offshore wind, oil and gas structures to ensure optimal utilization of the asset. As regards Fintech, Welspun growth strategy entails creating a diversified product portfolio, repurposing its business to add new target segments, expanding its offerings to add both B2B and B2C markets, and making well-considered strategic acquisition. In this regard, as you know, we have acquired Syntex BAPL. We are in the process of acquiring Syntex BAPL non-convertible debentures with an outstanding value of 1,231 crore rupees for a purchase consideration of 421. This is already accomplished. The whole process, as you know, it was under IBC, is nearing completion, and we are hopeful that it should be over in the next couple of months, but on or before quarter one of FY 2024. ESG. Welspun published its maiden sustainability report for FY 2021-2022. The report is significant in helping WCL comprehensively reporting its sustainability performance across the environmental, social, and governance domains. The report also highlights the progress made by WCL over its sustainability goals and its alignment with the global framework like the GRI, UN SDGs and SASB standards. In addition, we published our first ever tax transparency report. It is essential that we explain not only our compliance with tax laws and disclosure requirements and guidelines, but also our overall approach that sets the context for tax liability. The voluntary disclosures through the report demonstrate that we strive to uphold the highest standards of transparency and governance. With this, I would like to conclude my opening remark. I will be happy to take any questions. Now, the floor is open for you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Miraj from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, sir. This is Abhishek Jain here. Congratulations on good set of numbers. Sir, just a question on two questions. One is, why is the debt increase? Is it because of the capex which we are ongoing through? And how much, when we are going to see the debt peaking out? Second question on the Sentex BAPL side. Are you seeing any challenges? Because as per our initial commentary, it was supposed to be completed maybe sometime in January. And now we are talking about Q1. So what is the reason for the delay and what is the current state of Sentex debt?
Thanks, Abhishek. As regards your first question, you are absolutely right. The debt has increased from, you know, because of the capex cycle we have gone into. We have invested into our steel making facility, our DI making facility, our TMT, acquisition of ABG and the acquisition of NCDs for the Sentex BAPL. So these are the key factors for our debt increase at this point in time. And, you know, as these companies will start operating, you know, and as they are ramping up the production, as you see, the DI pipe company is ramping up significantly. The steel plant is doing extremely good job. The TMT business is also in the process of stabilizing. ABG acquisition has also taken place and the scrap sales will start, you know, in the next couple of days. And once Sentex also comes on board, I think so this debt will be, you will see the gradual reduction in the debt, which will start happening. And as we have already said that it is our endeavor that, you know, we would like to again come back to a debt-free level in the next three financial years. So we are absolutely focused on that. We have devised a clear roadmap for that, and we will be continuously monitoring and working towards that. As regards your second question with respect to Sentex BAPL, it is a process. You know, it's a regulatory process. We are expecting that it can get over even before 31st of March. But just to be a little bit on the caution side, I am saying that if it might slip by a few weeks here and there, it is quite possible because, you know, we have no control on the regulatory process. But as regards the process, I think so it is moving in absolutely in the right direction, and we are very, very hopeful, and we feel convinced that this transaction will get closed ASAP.
And can you throw some light on the ABG? What was our thought process now once we acquired the ABG, and what we are going to, what is our plan of action going forward? And at any point of time, do you see any kind of opportunity maybe a technical tie-up with any global player at any point of time? Do you see this kind of opportunity for ABG also?
See, ABG, as you know, is a wonderful asset, right? Our first priority was to take the asset under control. That mission has been accomplished, number one. Number two, we have embarked on a journey of, you know, seeing what is lying there, what is of use to us and what is not used to us. So we have also completed that exercise. Now, what is not used to us, we have created a separate team which is completely focused on disposing of those things. So we would like to bring in that cash flow into our play. On the business side of it, we have already discussing with a few few reputed companies and consultants at what should be the best way ahead for us or the roadmap for us, which is value accretive. See, we are exploring quite a few options. Option number one happens to be shipbuilding, ship repair. We are also looking at offshore marine substructures. We are also looking at in terms of can this facility be converted into where we can have some green steel making facilities. So all these options are up on the table, and at this point in time we are exploring each and every option absolutely in detail so as to come out with a very clear cut roadmap for the next 3 to 5 years time that what will be the best sustainable offering and which will be value accretive. So this is a work in progress, and as we will move forward, we will keep you apprised about the same.
Okay, sir. I have few more questions, but I'll come in the queue, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Singh from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Vikas.
First of all, congratulations on some of the smaller business unit turnaround. We were waiting for this for a long time. Sir, I want to understand one thing. Sir, what we have seen in the last couple of quarters or prior to that, our India order book has not been growing in a significant way. While if I look at some of your competitors, they have added orders at a much faster rate than you. So just wanted to understand our strategy with respect to Indian mills. Are we purposely keeping these mills free, or we are just looking for a higher margin order? So what is our strategy here?
Okay, Vikas, I think so. Thanks for the compliments on this turnaround. And well, the turnaround is both in the smaller and the larger companies both. You know, the steel setup is a large setup, and it is a great turnaround there as well. So I take that compliment. As regards the Indian pipe business, we have assets in Anjar, we have assets in Bhopal and Mandya. Right? These are the three operating assets what we have in India. Primarily, our strategy is that, from our Indian assets, we are trying to do majority of the water business and a significant portion of the oil and gas business and CGD business. I think so. From a volume perspective, we are seeing a consistent volume across all. The oil and gas business, we have a consistent order book. From the CGD business also, we have a consistent order book. And even from the water business, we have a consistent order book. So in our Indian assets, which are servicing the Indian market, there is a very consistent approach we have been following, number one. What we have been holding back is our longitudinal pipe business, which is predominantly our export business. And that business is a high margin business. So what we are always trying to blend the Indian business and the export business together so that we are able to make a higher EBITDA margins. So this is what our strategy has been. This is what our strategy is. And likewise, this is what our strategy is going forward. So at this point in time, I think so all the op mills which we have in our Indian asset are operating. None of them is idle. And I think so looking at the business prospect and the volume, I think so they will continue to work on quarter-on-quarter basis.
Understood, sir. So in terms of our bid book, which is geography has a higher percentage in this bid book? If you could just give us some insights into it.
So right now, if you see from a bid book, we have a sort of an active bid book of almost close to 1.7 million. And today, of course, Middle East seems to be leading the pack. I think so. We are seeing a significant business potential which might be emerging from Middle East. We are also seeing the business, a significant business coming up from Europe. And we are also seeing a substantial business coming from Southeast Asia and Australasia. So these are the three areas which we are completely focused on. And if you see our track record, we have been extremely active and extremely successful in these three areas. And fortunately, these three regions are showing a very, very strong demand over the next couple of years coming through. And that is getting reflected in this bid book.
So just a small further clarification here. Given we have mill in Saudi also, where we just Indian shareholder would have only 35% of the weightage. So this bid book, are these larger part is booked from bid from the Indian mills, or a larger portion would still go to Saudi and Indian mills would have to wait. So just wanted to understand, because I believe this 1.7 million ton bid book is for the entire group and not including Saudi as well.
No, this, what, we are not talking Saudi here. We are not talking Saudi here. This is purely what we are talking, 1.7 million tons, we are purely talking, which could be a potential bid book addressable out of our Indian assets. Saudi is over and above this. Saudi is a very localized domestic market. And we, with our presence out there, you know that we, you know, we are doing extremely well out there, and the prospects look even better, you know, in the years to come. But this 1.7 million bid book refers to the addressable market which we are looking to service out of India. And of course, US.
Understood, sir. Sir, my third question with respect to your capital allocation policy. So, since we have already now got the debt of roughly about 1800 crore, are we just looking to stop right here, or there are further plans which are on the pipeline? And what kind of the debt peak out we would witness as per your internal assumption by when?
See, this 1800 crore rupees of net debt what you are looking at this point in time is because of all the greenfield projects what we are, the acquisitions what we have done. And this was, and all these acquisitions we have discussed and deliberated in details in our past meeting, that they were all thought through acquisitions. And we will, once we have made these acquisitions, over a period of time, this will start yielding benefits. And, you know, it will lead to an incremental growth into the earnings of Welspun Corp. So that was the whole genesis behind it. I, answering your question that are we, you know, at this point in time, we are pretty much done with our capex cycle. This is all what we would have. We have clearly set our platform together. We now have a fully operational pipe vertical. We now have a fully operational steel vertical. We would have acquired ABG and we have Syntec. So these are the four verticals in which we were determined to get into. We have got into that. We have put our skin in the game. And beyond that, at this point in time, we are not thinking anything more other than that. Only operationalizing them and ramping up their operations and making money out of that.
Understood, sir. So just one last question, if I may pitch in. Sir, could you just give us US-specific performance details, what kind of EBITDA per ton they have done this quarter?
So in this quarter, US produced close to 30, they produced and rather dispatched close to 38,000 tons, if I'm not, 38,000 tons of sales they did. And because they only started production sometimes in September, so while the production started, the production ramp up happened, and then we have made a dispatches of almost 38,000 tons. And the bulk of the order, we would start now seeing that dispatches happening from Q4 onwards, going up to the Q3 of the next financial year. So the next four quarters, you will see the order book getting completely executed. In terms of earning, I think so, in they made a modest EBITDA turnover of almost close to $7 million. Around 55 odd crore rupees in this particular quarter by the sale of almost close to 38,000 tons.
Thank you, sir. That's all from my side. And congratulations again on turnaround of some of the entities, and hoping for the better future.
Thank you, Vikas.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash from Sushil Finance. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. I have a couple of questions. Firstly, congratulations on our gross margins, which have improved significantly since the previous quarter and the previous years. My first question is, could you throw some light on other income? There has been a substantial fluctuation happening quarter on quarter. And secondly, there's a line item, other expenses, which have increased from approximately 140 odd crores to 358 crores year on year. So if you could throw some light on the bifurcation of the other expense, which is the major two components or major two heads which are where we are having those expenses, that could be great.
So if you see our other income in the two sequential quarters, I think so in the quarter before that, in the quarter two, we had other income, you know, we had the sale of asset at the hedge. And, you know, it was close to 104 crore rupees, which came from the sale of our Dahej land. Also, there was a mark-to-market, earning in the other income, which was close to 43 crore rupees. So all put together, this was like close to 160, 170 odd crore rupees of other income. You know, that is why it was, you know, that is why you saw that other income higher in the second quarter in comparison to the quarter three. As regards other expense, Prasi, will you take answer?
Other expenses include, of course, a lot of expenses which are apart from the materials and the manpower cost. And as you know, we have a lot of businesses which are ramping up. So WML, WDI, ATMT, all these are new businesses, and all the production expenses, everything is ramping up. So going forward, quarter on quarter numbers will be very difficult to compare for all of you because of the newer businesses which will be ramping up. But on the whole, I think these are all the numbers which are on the predictable lines, and we add these new business, we expect these new businesses to start contributing to the bottom line in the next few quarters.
Okay, and a follow-up question on the gross margin size, not the EBITDA levels. EBITDA gross margins, do we see the same level maintaining going forward, and have we absorbed the increase in raw material prices completely, or do we see something happening in this quarter, coming quarter as well?
Some effect. I think so, you know, the whatever hit we had in on the raw material size side, you know, which was predominantly on the coal, you know, and which everyone knows the across the industry that hit came. So we also had that hit in the quarter two. I think so that was almost almost fully absorbed in quarter two. A residual impact of that was, you know, is seen in quarter three. And but with that, I think so this history of, you know, or any raw material impact coming into play, I think so it's all completely addressed. So I moving forward, the gross margins across the businesses are likely to go up only. And, you know, as the businesses are ramping up, as their performance is happening, as the dispatches, sales is happening, and the market looks very promising, I am very confident that the gross margins over next subsequent quarter is going to be better than what we have seen this quarter.
Okay. So just last one question, sorry. The government contracts and other contracts which we have, so do we have a price escalation clause in those contracts going forward, or like the some of your competitors are has? And requested the government for a price escalation cost. So are we also opting for the same, or how is it? Or was it already in place?
See, we the quantum of government contracts our in our Indian business is only restricted to the business what we do with the PSUs in the oil and gas sector. Right? And that business is a fixed price contract. And where, you know, where you, we always do a sort of a bidding on a back-to-back basis. So I think so we, you know, they are fully secured contracts for which even the raw material is completely taken care of. So I don't think so that, you know, there is any impact. There is any impact on that, number one. Number two, when it is the, for the DI pipes also has some component of direct contracts with the government. And most of the contracts now have been modified on a price escalation basis. So they are index-based pricing now, which is available. And, you know, so to that extent, we are completely insulated on the DI side of it. Earlier, it was because only on the pipe side of it. Now on the DI side of it, you know, whatever is a government contract, they are index-based. So from a raw material perspective, I think so we, on both the front, steel front and the vertical and the pipe vertical front, we are completely insulated.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for answering.
Thanks, Yash.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar, Sajid. Thank you for the elaborate answer. I joined a bit late, so sorry for any repetitive question. But firstly, sir, if you could give me the debt number, sir, as on December on a console basis.
Good morning, Mr. Kapoor.
Sure. So, Mr. Kapoor, our debt number at the end of December on a consolidated basis, net debt, stood at about 1,800 crores. So, this is up from September quarter, which was about 1,600. So, we are up by about 200 crores, largely driven by the project capex. And we are approaching now the fag end of completing all the project capexes. So, by this March, we will be completing most of the capitalizations as well. So, you may virtually say that this is the peak level that we are witnessing right now. And going forward, we will see improvements as our working capital will also get released more and more. and the project capexes are also coming to an end.
So, and what is our capital work in progress as on 31st December, and what is going to be likely for 31st March?
The capital work in progress is basically an entry which it will get capitalized and go to fixed assets. But I think your question may be more towards the capex cash flow.
Yes.
So I think as we stand today, maybe another 100 crores odd figure could be there pending for payouts towards the projected capex.
So how much we are going to capitalize as on 31st March? And what is the working CWIP as on December, 31st December?
So by December, see, we had capitalized things like the coke oven was capitalized, the sinter is capitalized. So the bulk capitalizations are done. On the DI side also, some of the mills are already been capitalized. Some capitalization will happen in Q4 as well. But this is by and large just a balance sheet entry between CWIP to fixed assets. And by 31st March, we'll complete all the capitalizations, majority of it.
When we look at now the new businesses and the profile of the company, totally different than what we were only subjected to a line pipe company. So, sir, going ahead, as things get aligned, how will the revenue profile look like? If you could give a ballpark percentage mix, what would be the contribution from the various segments going ahead, sir?
See, as we say that, you know, we have two verticals, the steel vertical and the pipe vertical. Pipe vertical will continue to be our mainstay, number one. And, you know, we are seeing a very super tailwind on the businesses, both in the domestic and the global market. So pipe business will continue to be our mainstay, and our new businesses, which are embedded into the steel vertical, I think as they are ramping up, they will also start contributing to that. If I have to say, I think so. Number, if I have to throw, I think so. The ratios will still be close to 60% of our earnings and revenues would still be coming, and our margins will still be coming from the pipe business, and the balance would be coming from the for the next 2 years will be coming from the steel businesses and other businesses. I am currently discounting in this the Syntex part of it, because it will be improper to comment on that at this point in time, because we will like to make a very judicious call and judgment and give a clear guidance when we are in absolute control of things. So all what I am saying about the 60-40 ratio is more on the current businesses on which we have full control on.
And sir, what has been our investment to this fintech part and the other vertical? How much have we invested, and what's the outlook going ahead? How will these investment will start accruing to the P&L going ahead? What's the timeline for it?
So fintech is close to 420 or crore rupees. That's the amount we have currently invested into that at this point in time. And as Mr. Percy said, that, you know, now we are done with our, and as I also said, that we are now done with our capex cycle. So all the capex which was supposed to happen has now happened in the steel vertical, the DI pipe, the TMT mill, the ABG shipyard, the Syntex. I think so we are pretty much done with the capex cycle. And this is what the numbers what we have disclosed broadly will remain the same now.
Sir, in particular to the investment in Syntex and ABG shipyard, how are these two assets aligned to our business model? And the total investment, 429 you mentioned for Syntex. For ABG, how much investment has gone through, and what is lined up? And how are these two assets going to gel with our total business profile?
See, as Welspun Corp aims to diversify its portfolio, see, we have been a large B2B player, and we wanted to create a platform and wanted to have a large B2C presence, and that is the rationale of bringing Syntex into play. And and we don't have to talk about this particular brand. I think so. There is nothing, you know, anyone would like. And everyone knows about what sort of a brand pull it currently enjoys. So Syntex continues to be will be leading our B2C play. So synergetically, you know, from a pipe company, no synergy. But as Welspun Corp is trying to become a conglomerate. So on one side they will manage the pipe business. On the other side we will manage the steel business. On the third side there will be a shipyard, and the fourth side we will have the Syntex. Coming back to the shipyard business, we see a huge synergy into that business because that's also a sort of a fabrication job. Ship building or ship repairs and anything which you do on the offshore asset or for an offshore platform is more or less like a fabrication business. And it is very synonymous and very close to the business what we do on our pipe side of it, in our pipe vertical. And it seems to be a very high growth area at this point in time. And on top of it, the acquisition was fairly reasonable. So all put together, that made a very interesting proposition for the ABG Shipyard. And we are very hopeful that, you know, over 3 to 5 years time, we will make a complete turnaround of that. And in between that, you know, whatever is our acquisition cost, we will like to mitigate it through the non-surplus items which are there and which by virtue of liquidating that. So it makes a great synergy for our business.
Sir, our two small points. Our investment in ABG is total. What amount have we spent as of now?
So we have put in about 700 crores plus GST so far. And majority of it is, of course, for the scrap that we have got, more than 150,000 tons, including the partially completed ships. And we will try and monetize these assets as quickly as possible. So that will, of course, limit our investment exposure. And as far as the business plan is concerned, we will take our time, we will do our due diligence, and then we will come up with a complete proposal as to what do we do with these assets and how do we use them for our business growth.
One more question, then one for Pipe. For Syntex and ABG, so these two stories have been the leverage stories of the two promoters, wherein they could not manage the business for one or other reason. And both, whether for ABG, it was a capital intensive part, and not to quote what was wrongdoing done by the promoters, whether or not. And for Syntex also, it was exposure towards the government projects and disabled issues. So what are the two learning stories and compelling reasons for which, other than getting things at a discount, what would have made you people believe that these two are the potential to put the management bandwidth? Since that we have a large pie in the pipe segment, and we are also expanding, we have already expanded in the DIP, which is itself offering a lot of business opportunity. So trending towards these two unrelated segments, what confidence and how is the management bandwidth there in these two verticals, that the time and energy that we spent would generate the same ROE or an ROC that the pipe segment in totality is what garners to?
I think so. You are asking a couple of questions here, Mr. Kapoor. Number one, why were they not managed nicely by the erstwhile promoter? I don't think so. I intend to comment on that. You know, there could have been various factors, and so be it. As regards Welspun, number one, it is not that they were available to us at an attractive or they were an attractive proposition. They were a completely thought-through stories, thought-through acquisitions, and which clearly will be the next engine for fuel for our growth. We are, you know, Syntex is our play coming to the B2C, is our play for the B2C segment, and we are completely focused to turn it around. We have a clear strategy around that. And we know that what type of brand it is, what can be leveraged from this particular brand, what is the penetration it has. It has more than 800 distributors, 13,000 retailers. You know, to create a platform and to have a platform like that, you know, into a B2C place is commendable. And I think so. This is the one is the brand, other is the network, and then it could be leveraged into so many other things. So that was our whole contention of getting into Syntex, and we are very confident that it will be a clear turnaround story. ABG is, you know, ABG, why did it not operate well? I think so. It has, you know, also it has to do with the timing part of it. Probably that point in time, the government businesses, what were happening, was the government or the PSU business was not very encouraging. Today, if you see the government's focus on made in India, Atmanirbhar India, and all that shipping, defense shipbuilding has to happen in India. I think so. There is a huge potential of shipbuilding which is going to be there in the defense sector itself. If you see that, all the government shipyards have an order book of more than 7 to 8 years. Now, but their demand and the appetite of the government in terms of putting more ships into the water from a defense perspective is so high that there is a lot of business which is expected to come back to the private sector. And this is one of the genesis of which for us to look at the, for the ABG shipyard. Not only this is a genesis, but if you see the freight corridor across India, the water transportation in India and the corridor, the economic corridor for the freight, for the shipping lines across in India has significantly gone up. It has almost tripled over a period of time. So that necessitates a huge need for a timely ship repair. So this asset has a, this asset could be a potential, a global asset in terms of ship repairs as well. Thirdly, we are also, this asset is the only asset where offshore structures and offshore drilling rigs were, it was compatible to make. The way things are panning out at this point in time, the way the offshore story, the oil and gas story in offshore, the, the offshore structure story in oil, in offshore, the drilling rigs business in, globally. I think so. This is, this is one particular asset which has the competency and the capability to do that. So all put together, when we are seeing a great potential into that. And that is the reason we ventured into that. Notwithstanding that, the acquisition cost was fairly reasonable. So just to tell you, Mr. Kapoor, that it is no knee-jerk reaction. It is absolutely thought through with a proper diligence and with a clear roadmap that we have put our hands into this game.
Yes, sir. And it is really happening. Yes, sir. I'll come in the queue, sir.
Yes,
yeah, yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone phones at this time. We have the next question from the line of Radha from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. So first question, in the line pipe business, could you give us a breakup of that 2,18,000 tons of sale for this quarter, India, US and Saudi?
Good morning, Radha. I think so from us, for our India, the sales was 126,000 tons. For our US operation, it was, as I said, it was 38,000 tons. And for our Saudi operation, it was 118,000 tons. So that was the sales for this particular quarter, Q3.
And also the breakup for the order book, sir, 928 breakup.
I think the breakup is very evenly splitted. We have almost close to in excess of 300,000 tons of business in India, close to more than 400,000 tons of business in US, and close to 200,000 tons of business in Saudi. So that's the broad breakup. Almost we have, that brings us to close to 950 to almost a million tons of business at this point in time.
Sorry, I could not get you. How much have you said in US and Saudi?
US is more than 400,000 tons and Saudi happens to be more than close to 200,000 tons.
Understood. Okay. So, so this India business EBITDA per ton has jumped significantly in this quarter. So, could you give us the reason for that?
As I have always said, EBITDA per ton is a factor of a business product mix. In this particular quarter, we have a very favorable product mix, number one. We have very profitable orders which got executed, and that is the reason you are seeing a high EBITDA per metric ton for our Indian business. I think so. Moving forward, even for the subsequent quarters, the way the product mix looks to us looks pretty decent at this point in time, and I hope that we should be able to maintain the same EBITDA per ton in the subsequent quarters, if not improve upon further.
Okay, sir. And in the Saudi business, you said you have 2 lakh tons of order book just now. So, out of that, is the entire order book pertaining to the water segment?
Yes, currently yes. Currently, 200,000 tons, approximately 200,000 tons of the water is business is purely with the water segment. Yes, you're right.
Okay, so, and so last 2 months there is a sharp correction in gas prices. So, is this expected to impact the order book position or new tenders in the US business?
It should rather improve. It should rather improve the, you know, we see that, you know, I mean, they have gone to an abnormally high level, and that is where the consumers have started feeling the pinch, and, you know, things were slightly, we were seeing a little slowdown, and especially on the CGD side of it. I think so with the sharp correction which is happening, I think so the projects which were, you know, on which some rethinking was happening, probably that will be over and we would see, you know, fresh business opportunities coming up on the table. So I see that as a positive rather than a negative.
Okay, sir. And in DI, sir, could you tell us how much coking coal inventory we have in terms of months?
I'm sorry?
So in the DI business, how much coking coal inventory we have currently?
So in DI business, we don't have a coking coal inventory. It is in our steel business, we have a coking coal. And, you know, we have defined... the product, you know, we have defined that the bulk raw material has to be always covered up to a particular limit. We have internal, we have set internal goals that what will be our goals of, you know, that we need to carry for iron ore, what we need to carry for coal, what we need to, you know, so we have set internal targets and we are well within that. On the DI business, it is purely a DI pipe.
So from the consult basis, how much EBITDA per ton are you expecting for the next 1 year or so?
As I said, EBITDA per ton is a factor of product mix, and the product mix keeps on changing on a quarter-on-quarter basis. It's very, very difficult to predict at this point in time that what is going to be the product mix for the next quarter. All what we would have a visibility for the next quarter. Let's say, you know, we will have a visibility for quarter four. But, you know, when we are talk about, while we will have a booking till quarter three of the next financial year, but there will be some new orders which will come, at what margins they will come, what profitability they will have. So that will keep on changing. But the way things look like at this point in time, I think so the market is, seems to be extremely buoyant. I think so this EBIT, you know, this EBITDA per ton, what we are showing in this particular quarter, I think so this cycle should sustain.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it for me.
Thank you, Rana.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, we request you to please limit your questions to one per participant. The next question is from the line of Bhavan Cheda from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Overall, congrats on good recovery in this quarter and strong order book across US and Saudi. Two, three questions. First, on the leverage level, so how much capex would be pending, and can we assume this gross debt and net debt levels are at peak level, or the same would peak out by March 23? If Percy is there on the call, yeah.
Yeah. Good morning, Bhavan. I think Percy is there. As Percy said, I know that we have only a residual capex, projected capex, which is left out, which could be in the vicinity of 100 to 150 odd crore rupees. That's the residual projected capex which is left out, and it will all be done on or before 31st of March. So we will be done with our capex cycle. So there is nothing beyond that.
Residual capex 100 150. Obviously, you're generating strong EBITDA, which means that leverage will come down, or we will need incremental working capital for US order book and all that.
The leverages will come down, Bhavan, for sure. And as regards the US part of it, the working capital, I think so that is fully secured, fully in place. I don't think so there is any need for any incremental working capital for our US operations. So we have adequately covered ourselves there.
Sure. And in terms of the order pipeline also, I think you mentioned somewhere bid book of 1.7 odd million. So is there some kind of a geographical breakup in that bid book? How much would be US, Middle East and India? Just in percentage terms would also be fine.
Yeah, so as I said, Middle East seems to be having a significant, which is almost one third of the businesses seems to be coming up from Middle East. then US, and then Southeast Asia and Australasia. So it is in that particular three regions that we are seeing that.
So I'm saying bid book of 1.7 million.
Bid book, yeah.
Bid book of 1.7 million. That would be also a similar breakup in line with the order book breakup?
If you see, it's pretty much close to that. You see in the US side of it, it's pretty much close to that, you may say that.
Okay. And so DI pipe break even should be there by quarter one?
DI pipe has ramped up significantly. I think so in the quarter three, they have just started and they were ramping up their performance. But just to give you some reference point that, whatever they produce in totality in the month, in the whole quarter, in Q3, they produce almost close to that they produce in first month itself. So you can assume that, what type of a ramp-up it is happening, almost close to 10,000 to 12,000 tons.
Ramp-up, yeah. So
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, quarter four, so pig iron prices are also going up, DI pipe prices going up after the export duty have been scrapped. So on the
Yes.
EBITDA break-even part, we should be there by quarter one, FY 2024, based on the order book and current pricing scenario. Obviously, the same can
Absolutely
change.
fair to assume that. Absolutely fair to assume that.
Okay. Thank you, and best of luck, sir. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Surbhi Saraogi from SMIFS Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Surbhi, good morning. You are.
We request you to please speak a little louder, ma'am.
Okay.
Or.
Is it better now? Hello, is it better now?
Yeah, better. Please go ahead.
Okay. Just one question, sir. Can you give some outlook or guidance regarding the revenue and profits for the next quarter and the next financial year?
Surbhi, generally, as a policy, we don't give any guidance. I think so, but all what we are trying to help you to understand, I think so we have a robust order book at this point in time, a confirmed order book, and across all the three geographies, India, the US, as well as the Saudi. All of these are extremely profitable orders at this point in time. And on top of it, we are also seeing a huge tailwind across all the three geographies in terms of US, in terms of India, in terms of Saudi. So I think so the order book is good, order book is profitable, and the demand predictions what are looking extremely encouraging. But they need to be converted into businesses and opportunity, and that will determine that what is, that is, what will be the revenue earnings and all that stuff. So we always fall short of giving a guidance. But I think so if you do a sort of a matrix around these three data points, it should be able to give you a satisfactory answer that, the company is definitely poised to grow from here on.
Okay. And sir, one more question. Last quarter you mentioned about an order regarding carbon capture pipeline in the US. So any update on that front?
Yes. So we have this carbon capture order from the US. This order is, at this point in time, of course, the production of that order was supposed to start sometimes in April, May of next year, May of this year. Looks like they are having a little bit of a regulatory hurdle at this point in time. And they have a, they are in discussion with us that, can we potentially delay the start of that particular order. And there are provisions into the contract. Looks like they are very hopeful to resolve that particular matter. So we are engaged with them, but they do have a provision to request us to delay the start of this particular order. But in terms of carbon capture project, I think so they are gaining a lot of traction in the US at this point in time. Not only about this particular project, which is slightly into a regulatory hurdle for land acquisition and all that, which is very common, which happens across all over the world. But the demand and the number of projects what is being discussed in carbon capture are number of projects are being discussed in US at this point of time. And one happens to be the Navigator, which seems to be one of the largest projects coming up immediately after this existing project what we have. So to your question that what is the potential and what is the outlook for carbon capture, I think so it is looking extremely promising. Of course, as it is a new business and, there are always certain regulatory hurdles around any businesses, which is not very uncommon. There's little bit of a hurdle this order is also facing at this point in time. But it's just a matter of time that they will all get resolved and we will do that. And in any case, we were not supposed to start before May. So we will see that how does it pan out from here on.
Okay.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ankush Mahajan from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, this quarter the employee cost is quite high and despite good gross margins, other expenses are also on the higher side. So would you throw some light, sir? What is the reason behind it and how is the outlook for upcoming quarters?
The other expenses, I think so in the earlier, in the earlier part of this call, Mr. Percy did explain why the other expenses are going up because, you know, all the new businesses expenses are, all the new businesses are started production, you know, they are getting ramped up. So that is where the expenses are getting, they are going in comparison to the last quarter when all the, these businesses are not there. So you will, in, it may not be a direct correlation. And so is the case with the employee cost. I think so with the new businesses coming in, the new, you know, all the new verticals getting created, new employees also joining in, the headcount significantly going up. That is what is getting clearly reflected in our employee cost. But they were, they are absolutely on the predicted lines. They are absolutely within our budgeted parameters and they are absolutely in our closest radar, you know, in terms of evaluation at any point in time.
Sir, any outlook on the EBITDA margins, consolidated EBITDA margins in the upcoming quarters?
As I was just telling Shubhita just before you, I think we do not give any guidance around that. Our, you know, we are very clear that, you know, A, first and foremost, Ankush, our order book is there. Confirmed order book is there. Almost close to a million ton of an order book is in place, which is to get executed over the next 4 quarters time, number one. Number two, all of these order book is a very profitable order book. So that's the second point. And the third, as we have been talking, the demand pipeline is looking also very strong. As we speak, we are, you know, we are contemplating orders in the US. We are contemplating new orders in Saudi. We are contemplating some very, high margin orders in India. So all three of them, that the new order book which is likely to come is going to be very profitable. The existing order book, which is already profitable and already the order book for next 3 to 4 quarters. I think so these three factors should give you a clear sense that, you know, we are absolutely into a sort of a good space at this point in time and which will only improve from here, please.
Yeah, we agree with you that despite there's a good order backlog and even the execution is strong that we are looking in the numbers. So just in terms of the profitability, that some of you are lacking. So just want to understand that.
So profitability, or if you see EBITDA per ton has been improving, and in this quarter three also it has been significantly higher than in comparison to the other quarters. And it was also it was a factor of a product mix. And I think so in the subsequent quarters also, when very profitable orders will be performed or executed, you will see that, you know, quarter on quarter basis, the margins are only going to be similar, if not better.
I agree, sir. Thank you, sir. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Thanks, Ankush.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Jain from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking up my follow-up questions. So two questions. First is there any inventory loss in this quarter? If yes, then what would be the quantum? And secondly, the second question would be a bit skeptical, but do we have any exposure to any of the companies from Adani Group in terms of business? Just a skeptical question. That's it. Thank you.
To the inventory loss, I don't think so. Do we have anything called inventory loss in this particular quarter, number one? And number two, answering your question with Adani, I think so. We have limited exposure with them in terms of orders, which we do keep on getting from them for supply of some ARW pipes or water pipes to them. And so that's a business exposure what we have. Nothing more than that. It's a business transaction as usual, and not very, and which in any case is at this point in time is very insignificant. Very, very insignificant.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you very much for taking time out today morning to hear us out and to see, you know, the to hear the growth story of Belson Corp. I greatly appreciate all the insight, in-depth questions what you asked, and I am sure that you, me and my team would have given to your satisfaction. But just in case, if you have any follow-up questions or you need further more clarity, you can definitely reach out to Mr. Percy, the CFO, and Gaurav Arjun, our investor relation guy. And I would like to thank that the trust and the confidence you have always shown into Welspun Corp. And as Welspun Corp, you know, moves from a standalone pipe company to become a conglomerate, I think so your trust and your patience and your support in this journey will be very, very appreciated, as that support you have always extended to us in the past. And thank you very much, and we will continue to communicate with each other and keep on keeping you abreast about what all developments are happening at our place. Thank you very much and have a good day, please.
Thank you very much. On behalf of MK Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.